Hello, and welcome to Season 3 of the Working Mom Homeschooling Podcast, the podcast for workingmomhomeschooling.com, where our mission is to help homeschooling parents make money, maybe even have a career, while continuing to homeschool and without losing their sanity. My name is Julie, and I am your host and resident career coach today. I want to thank you all for joining us and listening in. I hope you're doing well. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing how to continue working and homeschooling while dealing with a family crisis. This episode was brought to you by Homeschool Magnet. Check them out at homeschoolmagnet.com. Hey, today I want to talk about homeschooling during hard times. I wanted to call this homeschooling during a crisis, but when I was Googling that and looking for other podcasts talking about homeschooling during a crisis, everything popped up pandemic related. So I'm not necessarily referring to homeschooling during the pandemic. Crisis homeschooling will definitely bring you up stuff about the COVID, coronavirus, and pandemic. And that's not really what I'm discussing today. I'm discussing when maybe there is a family crisis. Basically, when blankety blank hits the fan, what do you do? On top of COVID and just, you know, the general craziness of 2020, I will tell you that last week we had a personal family crisis happened. And honestly, because, you know, hey, I'm the mom, a lot of the burden of kind of doing the day-to-day of that really fell on me. Regardless of what was already on my plate, it fell on me. Just because my husband's job is not flexible and mine is. So there we go. And he was very, very helpful. I'm going to put that little blurb in. He was extremely helpful and frankly helping me with the administrative paperwork, you name it. So he's great at that stuff. But the day-to-day dropping everything, taking care of someone who's in the hospital, going back and forth, trying to purchase all the supplies they're going to need because they will be staying in my home to take care of them, on top of the house cleaning and all of that, and homeschool and trying to do my business and all of that craziness. So yeah, that was last week. And it's really a shame because I had all of this wonderful to-do stuff that I really wanted to work on. And guys, it just didn't happen. So if you're missing an email from me this week, guys, I really apologize. But what's been really kind of hitting on my heart this week that I wanted to talk to you about, because I know, look, this is common, you know, this is going to happen. You almost have to kind of expect this. And I think many people, when the unexpected happens in their lives, that they just assume that they have to give up homeschooling. So when the crisis happens, they're like, well, I guess I need to put the kids in public school because, you know, whatever. And that is not really an option for us right now in our situation. You know, there's some really great neurological reports and studies out, if you really want to nerd out on this, that talks about how reducing our mental load, reducing the amount of decisions we have to make per day, and just a normal everyday thing, frankly, free up so much brain matter in our brains and have so much space in our brains. So that's just a normal everyday process. That's why, you know, you see the running joke about Mark Zuckerberg wearing the exact same t-shirt and jeans or pants every single day, because he does. He doesn't have to decide what kind of shirt or jeans or whatever he's going to wear that day. He's got the exact same shirt and like 50 copies of it, and like the exact same pants and 50 copies of it. That decision is done for the day. But what happens when you have a crisis? Well, all of that decision-making ability that you have in your brain is actually a finite resource. So if you imagine a cup of water and, you know, you're constantly dripping it out with all those daily decisions, and maybe you were fine doing all the day-to-day stuff with homeschooling and working and all of that, but if you throw in a major crisis in there, that is going to empty that cup really fast. There's just so many decisions you have to make, thinking through, you know, problem solving, you know, what is the best option? What else is going to need to be kind of moved around and taken care of because of this crisis, blah, blah, blah. And I will say that, frankly, my cup ran empty by about Wednesday of last week. I was burnt out very quickly. Part of what I wanted to share with you today is some of the things that frankly helped my life and helped our family's life keep going. First of all, the fact that I had pre-planned all of our homeschooling stuff for the year meant that homeschooling was not affected by any crisis that we've had, including the pandemic, but specifically last week. So homeschooling could continue. Because I plan out the whole homeschool year at once, I didn't have to stop and think about homeschooling. I don't make any decisions if I don't have to about homeschooling during the year because it's already done. So last week, homeschooling could continue. Homeschooling did not have to be interrupted because of a crisis. Now, for those of you that are new out there, I want to give you permission to take the break and to do lighter days if you have to during a crisis, and maybe do the bare minimum and throw in the educational DVD if you need to, or whatever it might be to keep kids occupied and keep them learning and having fun while you deal with stuff. And sometimes everybody just takes a break because mom needs it. That's okay too. That is the freedom and the flexibility of homeschooling. However, when the crisis is over, because you just dropped everything, one of the things I often hear is because after crisis A and homeschooling was just dropped because, mom was bedridden or, seriously ill or dealing with the death of the family or whatever it might have been for you, it's the added burden and added stress of quote unquote being behind, which again, whole nother conversation in the homeschooling world. But we all know how that feels, right? You drop something and now you have to pick it back up. And frankly, it just feels so much heavier and so much more stressful. Because I have been planning the whole homeschool year at once over the summer. And frankly, all of that decision-making power was already taken care of. And homeschooling did not have to be interrupted for my family last week because I was dealing with a crisis. Now, luckily enough, I am at the point in our homeschooling journey that both of my kids are older. They are pretty much independent. I do have to kind of maybe sit over them and make sure they actually do their work and don't halfway do it. I have a ninth grader and a seventh grader this year, and frankly, they can be left alone and left to their own devices and do their schoolwork. They were great about that last week because they knew that was their way of frankly helping out. I set them down and explained, look, this week is going to be murder. What I need from you, what help I need from you. And again, that clear, honest, open, straightforward communication with kids really does work. Is like, I need you guys to do your schoolwork. Okay, I'll be in and out and I can help with issues when you have it, but I just need to know that that got done. And they just nod and said, yes, of course, no problem. They got it. And I think when you make them feel included and all of that, it really does help. And when they understand that that's one of the ways they can really be supportive and help you out, I think kids want to step up. But for me, okay, going back, I'm trying to get back to my original point. The fact that I didn't have to worry about like what math lessons we were going to do or what science needed to be done or whatever, everything literally was prepped. All of my handouts were printed out. You name it, it was already done and laying in a folder, and I didn't have to think about it last week. That saved so much stress off my life, guys. I'm just telling you. So I do firmly believe in prepping your entire homeschool year at once. It's just been one of my sanity savers and coping mechanisms because something is always going to come up. It doesn't matter. It could be a major work project, it could be a family crisis, it could be something, but at least you never have to stress about homeschool, right? Another thing that really, really helped me last week is the fact that I plan all dinners and all meals all at once. And frankly, we've kind of instituted everybody cooks one meal a week in our house. So my girls are 12 and 14. And yes, they cook a meal themselves one night a week. So one of them has Tuesdays and one has Thursdays. And my husband does Saturdays or Sundays. So everybody pitches in one night a week. That is three meals a week I do not have to deal with. So, you know, first thing Monday morning while I'm doing my coffee, if we didn't talk about it on Sunday, we do it first thing Monday morning while I'm drinking my coffee, they're having their breakfast. What do you want to cook this week? We go through the meals. What do I need to go to the grocery store for? You know, what do I need to order? That sort of thing. And that's all done in about 10 minutes or so. I do not spend a great deal of time stressing about it. And especially during this crisis, I was able to go back and frankly just throw in the super easiest, you know, throw it together meals as possible. I mean, we're talking like, you know, roast some chicken in the oven and put some frozen peas. And I was okay with that. And the family was okay with that because they knew it was just that nature. You know, it's just that season of life this week that we have to do that. So the kids are really stepping up with meals. And I just plan all the meals in the week, which informs my grocery list. And so the grocery list goes right into my Cozy app instantly. And everyone helps me kind of keep that updated. I did prep breakfast for the week. So I make, you know, little egg bites, you know, in the muffin tins. And I've been planning to do that already. So I basically doubled my original plan so we would have enough to last for at least a week. And frankly, now it's going to last me too because I made so many. So that's great. You know, so basically breakfast is done for the week. If they don't like what I made, they can eat cereal. They can have toast. Lunches are usually leftovers, but I did throw together some tuna salad and just leave it in the fridge. So there would be something if we didn't have leftovers in the fridge for lunch. And I did all of those at once. So Tuesday morning, basically, I just cooked most of the morning or prepped everything for the meals. So I went through and if stuff had to be chopped, if it needed to be prepped, I cut up everything. Basically, the second I got back from the grocery store Tuesday morning. So meal planning, homeschool planning, those two things, you know, at least those two things get done. We're always going to have a meal at night and homeschool can continue. Another great thing that I've started to do is what I call brain dumping. So when the crisis situation happened and you know your brain is just going nonstop and there's just so many thoughts flying around in your head that you just can't even keep up, right? My personal way of dealing with that is what I call barfing on the page or brain dumping. That's a more polite term, but it feels like brain barf. So that's what I call it. And honestly, but I just take a piece of paper and I write down every single thought going in my head, meals and grocery shopping and do I have this and cleaning? How am I going to throw that around? And, you know, oh, what about the insurance? And what about this? And what about that? And, oh, I need to wash the sheets in the bed. And, you know, I don't think that's been done. And, you know, so like every single stray insanity thought that's been flying through my head, I instantly just put it down on a piece of paper. I didn't try to organize it yet. I didn't try to do anything with it. I just barfed it all out on the page just to get it out of my head. Once I had done that, then I could kind of start to work my way through and start to organize it and go piece by piece. First thing after I'm barfing this out on the page, I'm like, okay, what can I do and do quickly? For example, one of those things was, you know, we had been running low on groceries. And so I was supposed to be going and doing the massive grocery stock up. And now, because of crisis, I didn't really have time to do any of that. And so that really affects making food for the next month or so while I'm dealing with an invalid because, hey, we have run out of all meat in the house. I do have a local service nearby where I can do a meat order and they deliver it to my house. So I did that right away. And thankfully, they were able to deliver it within 1 or 2 days. So that just made my life easier. If you need to place your grocery order this week, you know, frankly, it might be worth the shipping and the delivery fee just to give yourself one less thing to deal with during a personal family crisis. I used to live near one of those places that did the meal preps, and oh, I miss that so much. But, you know, I could frankly order prepped meals and, you know, put them in the freezer for a month. So if you have one of those things during a personal life crisis, that sort of thing may just save your sanity. So I did a massive meat order, and kind of included my Thanksgiving turkey in it. So frankly, turkey is there. I know Thanksgiving's coming up in 3 weeks and I'm going to be dealing with an invalid, and I know my time is going to be stressed in the next couple of weeks, and I didn't want Thanksgiving to be affected. Because again, that was one of the things in my brain dump is, oh my gosh, what about Thanksgiving? Oh my gosh, what about this? Oh my gosh, what about that? So my master list, I kind of just started organizing my category and kind of just, you know, kind of laid it out for myself about what things I needed to do for work and the, you know, meals and cleaning the house and all these things. That really did help me. Is, you know, I know it doesn't sound like a big thing, but just getting it out of my head and onto a piece of paper, it alleviated a lot of internal stress. So I could go through and, you know, talk to my husband and say, you know, I thought of this and I really don't know what to do about this one thing. Or I thought we have a couple of options of ways to do this. What do you think? Posted in some of my local Facebook groups that, okay, I'm dealing with this situation and I'm going to need this. Does anybody have one? And I don't know what to do about this. Can you, you know, anybody, can you tell me, you know, something I haven't, you know, thought of to ask the doctors if I'm going to be dealing with an invalid and blah, blah, blah. I had some really great advice given to me when I brain dumped that into a Facebook group. So, you know, use your support groups as much as you can. And that gave me a whole new list of ideas and coping mechanisms and that sort of thing as well. So definitely don't be afraid to ask for help. Ask for support. Use your support groups you already have in place as you're kind of doing that brain dumping so that you can get the information you need to make this all work. One of the things that I think really did help last week while I was dealing with this kind of onset of a new kind of family crisis situation is focusing on self-care. I don't mean self-care by, you know, manis and pedis and massages, as much as I love that. You have to get down to the basics of self-care. And by this, I mean making sure I took a shower every day, making sure I got sleep. Even if the list wasn't done, I stopped and went to bed and left the TV off as much as humanly possible. And took a step back from anything I could delay or drop for a week. So yeah, there were some things work-wise that had to get pushed the back burner because I knew they could for a week. And, you know, some things got pushed the back burner because I was like, I'll do this as soon as I get a break or in between something. And well, that never happened. And sometimes some of those errands and things I had to do unexpectedly took like 3 hours when they should have taken one. You know, that's life. So giving yourself a little bit of just focus on making sure you're drinking enough water all day, you are taking those vitamins so you don't wear your immune system down, you are sleeping sufficiently for helping you deal with this crisis. Stress causes your cortisol levels in your body to rise. When you have high cortisol, it takes far more for you to frankly deal with that high level of cortisol in your body. It means more sleep, more healthy food, more water, and so on, just to kind of keep you at more the normal rhythms when your cortisol and your stress levels get crazy ratcheted up. You know, again, I'm not talking crazy stuff. I'm like just making sure I drink enough water while I was doing my errands. So I would, you know, take a, you know, a cup with a top on it in the car while I'm running my errands and try to drink all of that water before I get home. Making sure I stop everything, you know, at a reasonable time of night and get to bed. Frankly, making sure I'm not watching any TV shows that are high angsty and high kind of stress level-y before bed, because frankly, I have enough of that and I don't need to add, you know, fictional stress of a TV show to my normal everyday life. So those little tiny, like, you know, just we're talking basic self-care things. That may be all you can do during a crisis, but that's what you have to do. I did stop and take a couple of naps because I just, you know, I couldn't go on. One more process I've put in place myself, kind of on a normal everyday basis, is I do a once a month kind of what I call a business meeting with myself. I review the last month just like I would if I had a boss. You know, what did I do last month? I kind of report into myself. I talk about my wins. I talk about my successes. I talk about, you know, with, you know, and again, this is all journaled. So it's literally, I'm writing it in a journal. I'm not literally talking to myself, but I do, you know, I kind of talk about where I fell short and like what I need to work on for the next month. And so I kind of do that in a journal format for myself once a month. And then weekly, at the beginning of every week, I kind of go through and lay everything out by the week to deal with there. So, and then kind of always reverting back to that one, you know, that monthly planning session I have for myself at the very beginning of every month. One of the ways that really helped me when it came to this kind of crisis being thrown in my lap is some of my monthly planning was already done for me. And I kind of have been in a rhythm of that. So when, you know, random stuff happens in life, I could look at my monthly plan and just go, okay, what can be delayed? What can be put off for a week? You know, what things do I need to kind of set up for myself so that I can do them when I get a chance, like emails and that sort of thing. So, you know, when I was sitting there waiting in waiting rooms or doctor's offices or, you know, carpooling the kids, you know, around in between all of that, I could sit there and send out 5 million texts and emails off my phone because I had that, you know, brain barfed, dumped out list of everything that I needed to do. But I was also able to rearrange what could be rearranged and figure out what couldn't be rearranged and, you know, kind of just deal. So, you know, first thing Monday morning when I'm, you know, kind of looking at, oh my gosh, and freaking out, my brain is swirling around, and I did a brain barf the very first day of the crisis, which was Sunday morning, and I'm sitting down Monday morning and I have a whole nother brain barf on a page. And then I could just take all of that plus my weekly plan, my monthly goals plan, and see how could I alter. Was there extra excess, extraneous kind of, with, you know, stuff that was thrown on my calendar that just now needed to go? Yes. There were things I'm like, you know, okay, you know, this is extracurricular for me. This is, you know, this can go for now. This is just, you know, this goal is going to, it needs to be put off to December because it's not going to happen this month. Let's face it. So I could go through and rearrange and reorganize and kind of reevaluate everything based on new certain circumstances. Now, because I had already had my work plan, my monthly goals list, kind of, I already had that already done because I do it every month. Then when stuff was just thrown at me, it didn't throw my whole life, including my work life, for complete and utter loop. Stuff maybe wasn't done on the schedule and the timetable that I would have liked it to be done, but it did eventually sort of get done. So, and I'm okay with that. You have to give yourself grace and forgiveness in the moment when you're just kind of dealing with the unexpected crisis, and not beat, you know, the crap out of yourself when those things kind of happen. So that's my wrap up. And I wanted to share all of that with you today. And I apologize for the convolutedness of this podcast, but I really wanted to share this with you today because this is going to happen to someone. And if it doesn't happen to you now, it may happen to you next year or next month, or something is going to pop up in your life that was ultra unplanned and is going to ultra affect everything in your life. It may be an illness. It may be a sick parent. It could be kind of a major crisis in life or, you know, something. And I think it's really a good idea to, you know, not that you plan in advance for those crises to happen, but if you can set certain patterns and certain systems in place, you know, just to take care of your normal everyday life, that crises won't throw your entire life up in smoke. You can look at and evaluate your homeschool plans and say, okay, you know, all this time, you know, I thought I was going to be spending homeschooling this week is not going to happen. What can I do differently or easier? And it is perfectly okay to take breaks. It is perfectly okay to slim down to the barest minimum and bare bones. It is perfectly okay to throw the homeschool books in the car and do it in the waiting room of the doctor's offices. I have done that before. We have done math in the waiting rooms. We have done spelling in the waiting rooms. We have changed from, you know, reading aloud to books on tape. We have done, I've gone and looked up science videos and science documentaries for, my kids were little so I could get on the phone and handle like insurance companies. So that is all possible. Okay. You may have to just kind of change your plan. And as your kids are older, you can bring them into that plan and you can frankly ask them to take on more responsibility temporarily with their schoolwork. And I think when you just really open and communicate that with them and just say, look, for this week is going to be madness. Hopefully it will slow down after this week. But for this week, I need you guys to step up. And this is what I need from you. And this is why I need it. And I just need your help. My kids have, they've really been very responsive when I've talked to them in a very open, honest, communicative manner and kind of just laid it all out for them in a very logical fashion. They get it. And I think they appreciate being involved in the conversations. But if you have to take a break, do. I just always worry about the quote unquote being behind or, trying to get back on the bandwagon is just so much harder. So as much as you can do, then do. But if you slim down, if you get behind, you just adjust later. It's not a big deal. So there you go. I know none of those tips are earth-shattering, but when you are kind of just thrown at a crisis situation, or frankly, the crisis situation is thrown at you, but you've got to keep going with work and homeschool and life and everything else, those are the things I highly recommend. Definitely look at putting procedures and processes in place just to make your normal everyday life easier, like prepping all of your homeschool planning far in advance, making sure that you have a kind of a system in place for meals and groceries, and then you have maybe some backup plans in place. I don't always do food delivery, but during a crisis situation, I do have those apps on my phone when nothing else can be done. Now, as we wrap up our episode today, I want to thank you all for listening in. There are a ton of great podcasts out there, but you chose to spend your time here with me, so thank you. In the show notes, you're going to find the links to my site, workingwhilehomeschooling.com, and all of the great ways that you can connect with us online. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please consider becoming one of our listener supporters by following the link in our show notes. A small monthly donation helps us continue with great content and interviews like you heard here today on the Working While Homeschooling podcast. Your positive online reviews, subscribing to the podcast, sharing it with your friends is all greatly appreciated as well. And if you know someone that you think would be a great guest of our podcast, please let me know at julie@workingwhilehomeschooling.com. A very special thank you goes out to Homeschool Magnet and homeschoolmagnet.com for supporting this episode and our Working While Homeschooling parents. Thank you for listening in today. Please, everyone, make sure you join us in our Facebook group for continuing conversation on today's topic and beyond. I look forward to seeing each of you soon at our next podcast at Working While Homeschooling.